Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the City of Smack podcast. I'm Chris Chavez, and this is my show where I chat with some of the biggest names on the track, on the roads, within the coaching ranks, and across the running industry. Our guests sit down and open up in depth to share their experiences, brilliant insights, and vivid snapshots from their professional and personal accomplishments in the sport. This show is listener-supported via Patreon. If you want to consider joining our loyal legion of backers, hit us at patreon.com/cityofsmag and contribute whatever you feel most comfortable with to keep us going strong. Thanks to Bjorn Trowy for stepping up with his monthly pledge. He's been a Patreon backer for 2 years now, so he's an OG City of Smag fan. We're also on Venmo for those of you who want to support the show and get a shout-out in the next episode. This week, we got some kudos from Betsy Aronson and Brad Peters, who wrote in and said, "Thank you, Chris. You ask great questions to your interesting guest. I appreciate that, Brad. More to come." One last thing. Sponsorship slots are now open for 2023 on the City of Smag podcast and the Lap Count newsletter. If you want to reserve some space to promote your brand, product, or event to our followers, do not hesitate to reach out. Email chris@cityofsmag.com for a full list of our offerings and rates. It's one of the most direct ways to tap into our dedicated following of track and field nerds, running superfans, coaches, and other fantastic people within the industry who appreciate our commentary and storytelling. Spaces are limited, so we look forward to hearing from you soon. Thanks to everyone for their support. This episode is also presented by Tracksmith. You know them by now because they've been behind the podcast in the past. Tracksmith is an independent running brand inspired by a deep love of the sport. Running in cold weather requires thoughtful layers, and Tracksmith's Fels collection is a Sidious favorite. The Fels turtleneck, waffle layer, and Henley from Tracksmith aren't your grandparents' wool sweaters. The Fels collection offers a warm and comfortable solution to unpredictable weather with its honeycomb weave pattern that traps and releases pockets of body heat. During the month of December, visit tracksmith.com/sidious and use code SidiousMag at checkout for free shipping and a way to support Achilles International. Their mission is to break down barriers to race start lines and empower the disability community to cross the finish line. I had the pleasure of running the New York City Marathon alongside my friend Dr. Joe Park, who has done some races with them, and it's truly inspiring to see the work that they do to get people with disabilities to participate in endurance events around the globe. There's 38 chapters in 17 countries and 28 chapters in 19 U.S. states. You can't miss their neon green tops and races as they improve the lives of people with disabilities through athletic programs and social connection. Remember to use code SidiousMag at checkout at tracksmith.com, and you can support Achilles International. My guest for this episode is Megan Krifchen. She is a professional marathoner for the Atlanta Track Club, and I decided to have her on because I just needed to know more about the wild past 30 days for her. It started on November 6th with the New York City Marathon, where she ran 2:40 in hot conditions. And then 2 weeks later, she decided to recycle the fitness and run 2:31 to take second in cold conditions at the Philadelphia Marathon. And for most people, they'd be quite content with that for the fall, but she decided to cap her year off with a 2:29 under perfect conditions to finish seventh in a personal best at the California International Marathon, which also served as the USATF Marathon Championships. This PR was a long time coming for Megan, so I needed to hear more about her journey to this marathon three-peat. So without further ado, here is Megan Krifchen. All right, Megan, welcome to the City of Smag podcast. My first question off the bat has to be, how are the legs feeling after three marathons in the past 30 days? Finally get the chance to get home, right back into work, but pretty wild.
Yeah, it is kind of wild. And I think about it, and I'm just like, how did I even do that? But the legs are still feeling good, guys. So it's really annoying me. I'm not sore. I'm walking down the stairs absolutely normal. Like, there's literally zero residual side effects. That's it. So I'm just like, what is happening?
All right. But there's still, 3 weeks left in the year? No more marathons. So at least for 2022.
Everyone's like, what's in 2 weeks? What's in 2 weeks? And I'm like, I actually did look on like the marathon calendar, and I'm like, there's really not much. Like, there's not much there. Maybe it's just like Like, I really didn't see anything on like the 17th. So maybe people don't want to host something like the week before Christmas or something. But yeah, I'm sure there's like small town marathons or something. But I mean, nothing that would really, spark anyone's interest.
I have to ask, of the three, which one left your body the most wrecked? Although it seems like CIM like was kind of like a cakewalk, because you said you're feeling great.
Yeah, I feel fine again. So like none of them, I guess. Is that fair to say? Yeah. I'd say actually after Philly, my back was a little sore. And I think sometimes when I get tired of the race, like my lower back like hyperextends a little and I felt there. Like I was like, I need a massage and like I need something. I need, my boy to just rub my back down or something. So that was the only one that I was. And I'm like, see, I am a good idea. Like my back is like messed up right now, but that went away after like a few days. Like,
So as a member of Atlanta Track Club, I have to ask, like, so the third one, of course, CIM, was that more you asking Coach Begley to give it a try, or was Coach the one who said, I think you should go out there and try and run a third one? I feel like after Philly, the runner-up finish and, 2:31, it was what most people's best case scenario post New York would have been. It was like, I just want to get a faster timeout, but you insisted you needed the third.
yes. So that was all me. I don't think Amy would have ever been like, you know what's a great idea? Like a third marathon. Like, definitely not. Like when that was presented to her, she's like, are you serious right now? So that was just me being like, listen, like I wholeheartedly believe that I could do this. And like, even if I just run my own race there, like I'm pretty sure I could get under 2:30. Like, and she's like, really? Like, and then she's like, all right, like I trust you, So at that point, she really was like, a third marathon, the training for this is really out of my wheelhouse. Like, just do whatever you did before, Philly, and let's see if this works for you.
Yeah, you're basically living in a taper phase between each one, and each one of them just ended up being a long run in the training cycle for the next one.
Yeah, it was basically like the what better way to run the marathon than to like run a marathon for it, but I mean that was like the workout, so I didn't really have to do much in between. And people are like, what did you do in between? And it's like, I took a few days down or off, like they were off days, and then I just kind of went back to my normal routine of like working and running and whatever. But there was not a lot of thinking to be made. It was just like take a few days off, run again. I did like a quick little speed workout. And then it was already pre-race week, so it wasn't very complicated. And I just kind of did, I still did like a medium long run on the Monday before. So like 15, just because I was like, I want the body to realize like we are not like on vacation, so that's what I did.
So I want to talk a bit more about those races and a little bit more about, the work that you do outside of running. But for background and for people to, I guess, familiarize themselves a little bit more on you, you're native Long Islander who went to Syracuse, primarily middle distance runner back in the day, went to grad school at Ithaca, and you've been running at this elite level now on the roads for pretty much a decade is kind of what I saw, just kind of like after the first foray into the half marathon. So this breakout has been, 10 years in the making. What is it like, I guess, for you to finally, have these moments now after sticking with the sport for so long?
It's like funny to like call it like a breakout because like I just ran okay at the end of the day. It's just like it just showed it was like showcasing like my strength as a runner. But yes, like that is years in the making to be able to tolerate like that load. I feel like it's been a long time coming for me to like do something, because I like my half marathon is like pretty legit when I ran it, and it was just like, okay, when's the big marathon gonna happen? And like I've just kind of run like a solid marathon, but nothing special. So it's always been kind of like a disappointment every marathon. Like, well, or like I was kind of injured and it wasn't the best build up, and it was just kind of like, going through the motions sort of, or like, I'm not fit for a great one, but I'll run it. Like, and then like it was always just like, oh, that was pretty good considering, So yeah, like I wouldn't call this a breakthrough. It was just like it was nice to like finally piece something together that was like, yes, like I am still pretty good at this sport.
I think it's also because a lot of people forget how high up you finished at the 2016 marathon trials. What was it? Seventh, right? And
yes,
that was a really hot day in Los Angeles. One of the races where I think there was the most carnage, maybe before it was some good practice. Well, actually you fared better there than you did at the New York City Marathon this past time around. But, you know, so for you, like you've had these moments in the past. So with the marathon in particular, you said it hasn't been as, you know, smooth of a progression that to get to the sub 230 that you finally got. There was even a break at some point where you took a couple years away from the marathon. So how has your relationship with that 26.2 mile distance changed over time?
I'm not scared of it. So like, I think when you're first starting out, it's like, oh my God, it's long. And like, you're worried about the bonking and this and that, like really haven't bonked like hard. Like, you know, I've always been able to like grind my way through. So I'm not scared of the distance and I believe in my strength and like, I am going to be fine. But, it's been frustrating to like not be healthy, you know, and I've just battled with like, I don't even know what, you know, like maybe just wasn't doing the right training. Like my old coach was like very much like a cross training and like soft surface kind of person. And like, I mean, from what I've realized in this season, it's like, I think I'm good with like lots of volume and like lots of running and I'm not injury prone really. So maybe it's just doing the wrong things or not enough. But yeah, so I just want to be like fast. Like right now I'm like strong, but I want to be like fast and strong. So like, that's the next goal.
The Atlanta Track Club has its crew of really fast women on the track, as we've seen this past year with a lot of success in the 800. Now you're running a distance that's much longer than that. How do you sort of fit in with the club and, you know, who are you working out with and what is that structure like? Because I guess people do kind of forget and sometimes they see Atlanta Track Club at these races, but it's more than just the track squad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the track squad is pretty big right now. Like that is the bulk of the team. That is like the team and they're great. And it's really exciting to see what they're doing. But yeah, like we don't line up too much. Like we do have like different practices. The marathoners tend to go like earlier because a bunch of us have work and whatever. So maybe we see them in passing, like we're cooling down, they're warming up or something. But yeah, I haven't really worked out with them that much, just because different events. It sometimes works out that like if we're at the end of our season or like last year even, you know, I ran Chicago and the group, we all did cross together, which was a lot of fun to like, we came in like second at Club Cross and we had like 800 runners on our team and like a couple of marathoners. So it was like, nobody was like primed for, you know, a 5K, you know, situation. It was like off distance people and we made a team, but that was a lot of fun. And then after that, like through like late December and early January, I was actually working out a little bit with the Midi team, like more of the miler kind of people. So it definitely is fun because like the inner 800 in me, that girl like loves that stuff. Like she's just like, yeah, we're gonna run like a fast quarter, like let's go. And like and I always find it funny, I'm like, can I keep up with them? Like, you know, if I, oh, let me hang off the back of like Yolanda or Allie, you know, like it'd just be like hilarious. And sometimes I do actually fare pretty well. So it is fun. But yeah, this season, like in particular, I was pretty much solo like the whole time. And like our girls were training for like an earlier marathon, like September, October. So like we were just kind of like not on the same page. Like they were doing a higher load when I was still trying to do some speed. So it just didn't line up, but it was sometimes nice because some of the boys sometimes helped out, or I did like a local Atlanta race. So it was fun to get a workout in just like running the 10 miler down here. So yeah, but there is still like the community feel because sometimes when we go to the club, like our headquarters, you know, everyone's lifting, or, you know, we get to see each other when we make it work. But yeah, but it's still fun and we all like enjoy each other's company.
Training wise, this fall was New York the one that basically over the course of the summer and, you know, September and October, all systems were pointing to that being the big race, especially for you, I guess, being a native New Yorker, that like this is the one that friends and family were going to come out to. And I believe, right, first time running that course, right?
Yeah. So yeah, everything, it was all about New York. Like New York was my baby, and I wanted to like make everything just like line up and like have the best day of my life there. But that didn't happen. But there was no like plan B, C, whatever. Like it was like New York or bust. Like I wasn't even thinking of anything else. You know, it's like, you don't do that. Otherwise you're like, well, I don't want to go too hard at New York, 'cause then I want to follow. No, I was ready to just dump my life into New York.
So at what point did those plans change? Because I mean, you know, someone like Kyle Merber, who, you know, works really closely with me, at some point his mind started thinking, okay, if New York doesn't go well, I could recycle this fitness for CIM and treat New York as like, you know, a training run for it. And you can make that decision maybe 20 miles in to mail it in and recycle it later on. For you, was that a conscious decision, or was it just days after the New York City Marathon, you were like, okay, I still have something left and I want something to reflect the training?
Yeah. So during the race, like I was, my goal was, I want to make it to the finish line. Like New York means so much to me. And like, I do have family, friends, like locals in the area that know who I am, that I just wanted to, you know, at least cross that finish line. And that would make me proud, you know, like, and you know, we all are in the elite world and, you know, our performance looks like garbage to us, but like, it's still like, people still respect us and they're wowed by like just finishing a marathon. So like, you know, that's impressive to them, even though that's like not my goal. But yeah, so I wanted to finish New York. And again, like, I don't know what's my future is like. So like, is this the only chance I'll ever have for New York, you know, as like a pro with like my name on my bib, you know, like, so I that meant so much. And I was also like super grateful for like the opportunity at New York and everyone behind the New York Roadrunners. So yeah, just out of respect. But I wasn't thinking anything in the race besides finishing. And even after, I was like, God, that sucked. Like, God, why do I do this to myself? Like, I was ready to just hang it up, you know, like, oh God. Like, but then it was like, do I really want to hang up, you know, like the shoes, like after that, like that blows. But like, but do I also want to do another one? Like, I clearly stink at this, you know, like, so that's where my mindset was. But, you know, I had like friends, family, like messaging me like, hey, like, you know, tough day, sorry, blah, 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 there'll be better ones, you know, whatever. And then it was Colin Leake at Philadelphia Marathon. He's doing the elite coordination of it. So with PR Elite Running, he was the one who kind of nudged it, like unknowing that it would turn into what it did. But like, he just kind of was like, haha, do you want another go at it like in 2 weeks? And I'm like, I think he was partially joking, and I was like, you're kidding, right? And like, I was like, that a 2 week turnaround is like absolutely nuts, like I don't know. And at that point I was like, maybe I should think about CIM instead. So, you know, CIM was more on my radar than Philly, where it was like, you know, 2 week turnaround, that's, I don't know if that's even a good idea. And then it was just the typical, you know, post-race stuff where I was walking around. I'm like, I feel absolutely normal. Like, it feels like I just did like a really hard run or like a workout or something, but not like I just, you know, mutilated my body and I just ran a marathon. It didn't feel like that. So I was like messaging back, like, you know what, give me like 2-3 days. Like, let me like go for my first run and like, I'll let you know how I feel. And so that's when it all started.
With how warm New York was, I'm sure there's a lot of people thinking, it's like, all right, you know, Philly might have, you know, some good weather. You wake up that morning, or even just that weekend, you could immediately tell how cold it was and it was going to be a chilly race. Did you have any second thoughts? Like, I guess when you were on the starting line in Philly and it was, you know, it was breezy and it was pretty chilly.
Yeah. It's interesting because I'm training in Atlanta. So like, you would have thought like New York would have played out in my favor at that point. And then I'm like up in Philly and it's like literally freezing. And I'm like, thank God I packed like my winter coat when I went up there, you know? But yeah, I kind of was like excited because it also like just took more pressure off, right? It was like, oh, the weather's so cold, like who knows what's going to happen. So like, I again, like the whole experience was like playful and fun. And it was like, you know, like, am I an idiot for even just like attempting this? Like, and then, you know, the weather was what it was. So it was like, okay, like, you know, like, let's just see how it pans out. Like, I wouldn't say I ever was like a cold weather person. Like, when I was a little girl playing on like my travel soccer team, like, I stunk it up like in the wintertime. Like, you know, I'm like, I was just cold. And then when it was like summertime and everyone's trying to get subbed out, like, I could play the whole game, you know, but like, when it was cold, it was but yeah, like, it didn't scare me at all. Like, I was like, okay, I'm ready for like a cold weather race. Like, all it could do is help me, sort of, you know. Like, you get through like the first like 5K where you're like, my feet are sort of numb, but then you warm up.
2:31 ends up being the result. Now, were you happy with that? Or I guess, like, I'm trying to get to the point of, like, why do you see I am
Why
even
the
after
third?
that?
Yeah, like, I don't know, something's wrong with me. I'm like borderline insane, I guess. But yeah, I mean, well, I lost by 6 seconds, you know. Amber Zimmerman, who won the race, like, had like a big gap on me, but I closed it really hard. And so I walked, like, I ran across, like, I closed really, really hard and came in within 6 seconds. And I was like, that pissed me off, right? Like, I was like, ah, 6 seconds, jeez. Like, if only I knew with like 5K to go, even, like, I could have found 6 seconds, you know. But I didn't. So I only knew like basically the final like straightaway, rounded Boathouse Row, and like, you know, came out onto around the like art museum. Then it was like, oh my God, there's like the lead vehicle, you know. Like, so it was just a little too late. But yeah, again, it was just kind of like, I was excited, like, wow, I just freaking did that. That was kind of cool. Like, that was so fun. And then it was like, I feel fine again. It was like, literally, my body is okay, except for like my back was tired, but like legs were good. And I ran the next day. Like, I was like, you know what, it's Monday morning. Like, let's just go for a run, see. Because I was joking about the CIM, but I'm like, let's just go for a run. And like, I mean, I ran a 6 mile run, like seven umpteen pace. And it was like, you know, you would think like, oh, I couldn't even run like under 8:30 pace. I felt like garbage. Like, I was like, oh yeah, I
As
felt
most
like pretty
people.
normal. Yeah, like, and I was like, and at that point after that run, I was like, yeah, I think I could do this. Like, you know, like, give me, and then I think I took like 2 days off because I was like, well, let's not kill the body. But yeah, and I was also like, should I do a turkey trot? But I didn't. Yeah, so at that point I was like, let's see. And then I work with Halley Management Group, and I was like, what do you think about CIM? Can you guys like get me in? And that's when they were kind of just like, well, are you losing it, you know? And they're like, why don't you like take a day or two and actually think about like if you want to do that, you know? Because at the end of the day, like, running the marathon isn't like, it's not like super fun. Like, it's hard, right? And you're like signing up to like put yourself through a little bit of hell, right? So it's not like, yeah, let me do this every weekend. Like, but they were like, why don't you think about, see how the body is responding, and if you want to. And then it was like the next day, I was like, yeah, I want to. So I think I was just like left with like, I guess like I was slightly unsatisfied after Philly. And if I won the race, it's like, would I have been satisfied at that point? Like, oh, I won, that's cool. Or would I still have been like, I think I can run faster? Like, I don't know. Like, maybe it's because I came in second that I was like, screw it, let's go for round three. But it just became like a, why not? Who the heck does this? So let it be me, and let's see what I could do in 2 more weeks.
So are you satisfied now, or is this sort of like, if you're not, I guess table it for next year, right? All
Yeah, I
right, I
think
guess Houston is like the first big one, I guess.
people keep saying, and I'm like, I'm starting to think about it. You know, like a little bit more than just think, like, do I want to? Like, I sort of want to, but I don't know. But yeah, I think any athlete, like, or any person, like, you know, you cross one task off your list, and then you're like, oh, I could do better or something, or, you know, like, so after CIM, I feel okay. But even like, oh, you know, I ran what I ran, and I'm like, you know what, I probably could run faster. I mean, like, I felt very controlled, and I ran like a very smart, conservative kind of race where it was like, I know I'm gonna successfully complete this task, this mission I'm on. So if, yeah, I'm kind of like, oh, I could do better. Like I know I could do better. So why not? But so that's kind of keeping me going, I guess.
The Sidious Mag podcast is also supported by Garmin. If you follow me on Instagram, you've probably seen me showing off my Forerunner 955 Solar. It's my favorite piece of running tech because it's jam-packed with so many features that make it more than just a running watch. Garmin has successfully done that across its entire Forerunner line because when you're not running, it's gathering everything from your body battery, your sleep record, HRV, stress measurements, and so much more for free. You don't need to have a separate subscription and you don't need to wear a secondary device now. Personally, I've been putting a major emphasis on recovery. So to understand how your body is recovering and to get ready for that next training session, Garmin has improved its sleep monitoring feature. After waking up, you'll receive a sleep score as well as a breakdown of your sleep stages, and they'll also provide some additional insights for improved sleep quality. There's nothing better than seeing that you scored a 90 on sleep. Get the most of your training and take things to the next level with Garmin's Forerunner series. I've been wearing it for a couple months now, and I'm still discovering new features and apps along the way. Visit Garmin.com for more information on the Forerunner 955 and the Forerunner 255. It's the series that Runner's World says is, quote, more accurate than ever. Visit Garmin.com today. You described it perfectly, I think, to the point where it's like, yeah, people sign up for marathons constantly, and it's voluntarily putting yourself through this pain, and it gets really bad somewhere around, you know, 20 miles or 23 miles, and you, in the moment, sometimes regret the decision or you question why you did it in the first place. But with you, like, I genuinely feel and hear that you get this joy and this pleasure out of running marathons or even just, like, competing at this high of a level. Maybe it's not in the moment, but when do you feel that the most, that joy and that high that you get from running?
I think like the day or two leading up to the race, you get that. Like I wasn't having like the nervous, jittery butterflies. I was having more of like the excited jitters, you know, like I was like, oh my God, I'm doing this again. Like, and like, I really thought it was just funny. Like people were like, what are you doing at this race now? Like, you know, I was like, I just like, I don't know. Let's go for it. But like, yeah, the starting line is always exciting. I think like that whole little moment like that, you're on the bus and you get to like where they kind of keep the elites in their little headquarters, before the moments before you even start warming up. That's when I'm like, wow, like I'm doing this. Like, this is so freaking cool. You know, like, and sometimes you're waking up like 4 o'clock in the morning and you're like, what are we doing? But this is so cool, you know? And like, then you board a bus and you get into your routine, you're listening to your, you know, pre-race music, whatever. And you're like, I'm about to like go do something. And like, the city is literally shut down for us. Like, that is so nifty. And that's where the joy comes in. And then, yeah, the gun goes off and ideally you're supposed to feel like pretty nice through at least 10 or something, at least, you know, and you're wondering like, when is it going to start hurting? When is it going to get hard? So I think that whole first 10 miles was like so fun. I was like, I love this. And I was like talking to people, like guys that were near us. And then there was like Kate and Julia that were like near me at one point. And we were just goofing around, but I was like, I freaking love the marathon. I said it to them. Like, we're all talking, what is your plan? Blah, blah. And I'm like, this is why I love the marathon. Like, you know, like it's like a community thing for a little bit. Like, we're all working together for this one goal of finishing or doing whatever. And then, you know, it changes at some point in the race where it's like all you and, or you're fighting, you're trying to beat this person. But the early stages, you're like, let's get it, you know? And it's so fun. So that's all the joy part. And then like the later stage for me was just like, what can I get out of myself today? Like, that was fun, you know, like, yeah.
You brought up routines, and that's like, you know, the pre-race playlist or the thing you are eating at 5 a.m. Did you stick to the same thing for each one of these different races? Or like, you're all right, it's still a bagel and coffee at, you know, 4:30 in the morning before this race, and then, you know, this is the playlist I did before New York? Or did you kind of change things up each time out?
For the most part, it was pretty much the same, you know, like, you know, sometimes like if you're like, I eat a tortilla and peanut butter, and like they didn't have a tortilla and you can get a hold of it. Like, it's okay if you have a bagel, it's like
right.
Ballpark the same. But like, yeah, besides that, like I pretty much stuck to my routine. It's just, you know, there's something just like that makes you feel secure. It's like a security blanket. Like, okay, this nothing is going to go wrong. You know what works, and it gets you in a feel good state.
I heard it was a long bus ride to the starting line at CIM. How did it compare to the long bus ride from the hotel in New York to Staten Island?
Okay, so I was on the bus and I was sitting next to Diane Nikiri, and like she's a doll, and but our bus driver was literally so fun. Like he was so cute, and he like it just made it made it like the best bus ride ever. Just like it he like kind of had to do like a little speech to us at the beginning where it sounded like it was like his first time like public speaking, but he was like really cute about it. And then he goes on and like puts on this like old school like R&B kind of music, and it was just like it was awesome. Like I kind of was listening to that and my own music, and like Diane and I were just like casually talking about it. And then, you know, at one point everyone's kind of quiet and in their zone, but that was fun. Whereas like New York was cool just because like you're seeing New York a bit. So like and it's like lighter outside because, you know, the daylight savings happened, so it was like brighter out, so you really kind of get to see your scenery a little bit. And like since that was my primary race, like I definitely was like more nervous, like that nervous jitters, like the gut feeling of like, oh my God, this is happening, and like I want this so bad, you know. So I think I was having more fun at CIM versus like New York. I was really more serious, and I was like, this is like for real. Like I need to get the job done. Like I am going to battle. And whereas like the other races was like, I'm just going to battle with myself. It's not a big deal. You know, like it's just me. I have to worry about me, not like I'm worrying about New York City and all the elites in the pro field, and I'm trying to like actually be a part of that and beat people, you know.
So right now you're looking for another marathon in the next 2 weeks or in the next month.
Yeah,
But
totally.
for a lot of pro runners, they work backwards, right? From like the next Olympic trials, which now luckily we know the date and we know that it's going to be in Orlando. And for you, I guess like this is the fourth Olympic trials that you've qualified for, but it'll
Yes.
be the what, the third?
Third.
The third that you're
Yes.
running, right? Because so you qualified off a half in 2011, but didn't run the 12 trials, finished seventh in 16, DNF in Atlanta, and now this time around, it'll be Orlando. Have you found yourself daydreaming or thinking of that race in particular? And I guess, like, based off of how this fall has gone, it obviously sometimes a PR helps you shift some of these goals and aspirations that you might have for yourself.
I haven't really been daydreaming about 2024. I feel like I dumped so much of myself into the idea and the dream of 2020, and then it turned out how it turned out. Like I tried everything there, and I did like long altitude stints at places and really like invested in my running career at that point and really thought I had a good chance. And then it was like hosted in my city, and you know, we had the support of the Atlanta Track Club like there. So like I had so much, but then of course I like pulled my hamstring at like mile 5.8. Like I didn't even get to 10K. Like that stunk so bad. And yeah, so I don't think I'm not trying to do that again this time. Like I'm trying to just enjoy like the day to day and not fantasize about something that, you know, I might have absolutely no control over. Like the trials are so weird sometimes. Like, you know, it's like sometimes there's big shockers, sometimes there's big surprises, sometimes like the person thought was a shoe-in does not even make the team. So, you know, I mean, maybe that would be me, but you know, like yeah, I'm not trying to get lost in the fantasy this time around.
I think that's great to hear somewhat about just like, you know, especially at the pro level, it's so easy to get tied up in the weight of what the Olympics are. It's the pinnacle of this sport and, you know, the trials are the stepping stone to get to that stage. But, you know, from just how you approach this fall and looking ahead, I guess over the next couple of years, you're really looking at just making that next race, whatever it might be, just a little bit better. And it can be a healthier approach than sometimes getting too wrapped up in the Olympics. Is that kind of like a good assessment or?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, the Olympics is like, yeah, that is like the gold standard, everything. Like, and you don't, you everyone wants that label, that title, that you could put next to your name, Olympian, like, and that you live with that. And like, that's so cool to have. But, the sport is way more than that. And like, you can have like an amazing career without even being close to being on the Olympic team, So I'm trying to just approach like whatever's left of my career of just like having fun, like getting more out of myself, like having the best version of me show up at like whatever's the next race, without the pressure of like, oh, it has to be like this insane performance next time. So it could just be a little bit better, and like I could be proud of that,
Even kind of when you were recapping New York and you mentioned that it may have been a stinker and you thought, oh, what if I just hang it up? It doesn't seem like you've gotten all that close to calling it quits within the sport, right?
I did take a little like step back, even like pretty recently, like March-ish of 2021. Like my Achilles was just like such garbage. I mean, obviously like COVID stunk and nothing was going on anyways, but I was in so much pain, and I think I was just like, why am I doing this? And I stopped for a little bit. Like I think I took like 2 months down or something, and I would just go for like a short little jog if when I felt like I was doing a lot of spin bike stuff, which was like just to stay doing something healthy. But I would go for like a 3 mile jog. Matt would be like, you're back already? I'm like, oh yeah, that was good enough, I guess. Like I ran three, but yeah. And I was just in a lot of pain, and I was like, what's the point of this? But then I don't know, I caught the bug again. Like, what am I doing? I don't want to end on this note. And then like I got back into it, and obviously I did Chicago in 21 and came in like sixth overall. So like it maybe it was just like a much needed, like I just needed a little downtime, shut it down and like clear my head. But yeah, I think after 2020 it was just like it that hurt, like that was such a mental like break, like of like heartbreak and emotions and whatever. And then it was followed with COVID, where it was like, what are we doing? But like, yes. But yeah, I don't know. Like I feel like I've been kind of on the cusp of being at like that top level for so long, but n not pushing through. So it's kind of, it just is, has been hard, to be like, I know it's in there, but I haven't been able to get there.
Over the next couple of weeks, if that question of why are you doing this comes up, like what is the answer you tell yourself at that point?
At this point, it's like to see what I'm made of, like what can I get out of myself? It was like the three-peat. It was like that was just for me. And it was like, if I pull it off, cool, like I pulled it off. And if I don't, like literally no one cares, or they would, or I would have just messaged out like, I guess three was a little too many, like one too many, I mean, but it's just to see like what is my body made of. And I'm not telling people like go copy like this crazy schedule that I did, like that might not be the best for yourself, but like it worked for me, and it was just more of a challenge for myself to see like what can this body of mine do. Like I'm old enough now to like kind of know what I could handle and like what I think I could handle. At that point, like Amy Begley was just kind of like, you think you could do this? And I'm like, yeah, I really do. Like, and that just comes with time. But yeah, so it's just for me at this point. It's just like, what am I made of? What can I do? How far can I push myself? And how badly do I want it?
This show is presented by Velus Recovery Footwear. Velus is an active recovery footwear brand designed to help you restore, revive, and re-energize before and after you train. After 2 years in development, this team has created the world's most comfortable, supportive, and lightweight active recovery shoe in the world. We talk a lot about high performance and training on the Sidious Mag podcast, but I want to take a second and tell you about something equally important to performing your best, and that's recovery. This is something that I've learned over the years, and I can't stress it enough. Take the time to recover properly. One recovery trick is to make sure that you're putting on the right footwear after your run, because your feet take a beating whether you're training or you're racing. And a new brand that Kyle and I have discovered over the last couple months is Velus Active Recovery Footwear. This brand was started by three athletic footwear industry veterans that really know what they're doing. They created what they call Tri-Motion underfoot technology that cushions, supports, and flexes in all of the right spots, and is engineered to let your feet heal faster and better. Plus, these shoes are so lightweight. I've been wearing them for a while now and absolutely love them. I rock them to and from a track workout. Kyle puts them on after races. Velus Accuray Recovery Footwear should be in your footwear mix and part of your plan to perform at your best. So check out Velus Footwear at velusfootwear.com. That's V-E-L-O-U-S footwear.com. Grab a pair today and get 20% off with discount code SidiousMag20. Use capital C and capital M in that discount code SidiousMag20 at checkout. Now you can experience what recovery footwear should feel like. Your work outside of running as an occupational therapist, how do you balance it? Like, was there a lot of PTO used in this past fall?
My schedule is a little more flexible. So, I actually didn't miss too much with the kids because I'm not there every day, but like, I was able to shift my Thursday, Friday up a little bit, like take the kids. I work in a pediatric clinic and it coincides with a school for kids with special needs. So I was able to just like, thankfully the teachers are okay with me, but you know, trade times and this and that, and then like see people earlier in a later slot. So I didn't miss too much on like my Fridays when I was traveling, but I was working between the two week like turnarounds like the whole way through, like, you know. So I mean, I worked like a full day both Thursdays and then traveled on Friday, like, you know. So I didn't miss much. And then like, yeah, I mean, I still worked like my weekend shift at the hospital, and those were not short. Like they ended up being a little more than I thought. Like I was there for like 9-10 hours, and that was like the Sunday before the racing. So yeah, I just stayed pretty busy, but like, you know, you could get the training in, like, you know. And especially between these ones, it wasn't like I was running like 100+ mile weeks at this point. It was still like, you know, like not too low, but it wasn't too high. But yeah, just like kind of paying attention to your schedule, being flexible, and getting in the miles when you can. Like there are times I run after work, you know, like because I didn't want to wake up in the morning or whatever. Like, so if I have to do a run at 7 p.m., like, you know, I'll do it and I'll get it in.
I remember a conversation, I believe it was like earlier this year, that Kyle and I had with like Johnny Gregoric about how he's in law school now. And, you know, at first sort of when you take that step outside of the sport to do something else, it could be like, well, I don't know how much time I'm going to be able to dedicate to training at a super high level. But instead, what he kind of saw was that he was training better and that it was beneficial to him to have this, not necessarily a distraction, but something outside of the sport to keep him busy. So for you, I guess, do you see some of the benefits of balancing that job with the training at this high of a level? And like, you know, what do you get out of it?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's different, but like for me, it makes me a happier person. I like having other things to worry about and stress about and like get excited about than just my running. And yeah, like, I mean, it does help you with like time management and stuff like that. Like, you know, if you have a big run to get in, like, you mean, you have to want to do what you're doing, right? So it's like, if I have to get up early and get it in before a big day of work, like I'll do it. But yeah, I just like having something else going on. Like I've, you know, before 2020, I was like devoting a lot more to running, and like it, you know, it not that it, what was the point? Like it wasn't worth it, but like, you know, I learned that like, I don't need to just have one outlet. I can have many. And then it's also nice to get like support from other areas too. Like, you know, like my work people respect me as a coworker, but like, they know I'm a runner and like, they get excited. Oh, you're racing again, you know? And it was like, oh, you're here on a day that you're not usually here. Like, guess you must be racing this weekend. It's like, yeah. Like, so, but I just like having something else. It makes running like go back to what it was. Like, it's like your passion, it's your hobby. Like when you start in high school, like you're a student first and then you're the athlete, right? So it kind of does that. Like I work and then I'm then the athlete. So it just gives me both.
This is something I think I saw debated online this past week, where it was like the Monday after a marathon. Is it take the day off of work to rest and recover, or show up to work and you get to brag to people about running a marathon? What's the move there?
Well, I was still in Sacramento.
Yeah,
so
right.
I guess I took Monday off, but I'd almost say go to work. Like, you know, I think if the idea is like, oh, I could just lay on the couch and be lazy and let the body recover, like that might not actually help you at all. Like, I think movement is good. You really could stiffen up and lock up after the marathon because it's not like you like cool down or anything. So I think being just walking around at the office and whatever is actually really healthy for you. And yeah, sure, you get to brag about it. I mean, you could still brag about it 2 days later. It's not a big deal. Like, that's not going away. But I think it's fun, and you're still kind of might be riding that high. So, it might be fun to like be around people and get to play with that high.
How long is too long to wear a medal around in the office after the race?
It's how long is too long to wear a medal is like, I don't know,
More than
15
a
minutes
day, I
after the
think.
race.
Yeah,
Like,
right.
like it was funny. I like did New York and it was like, oh, maybe you should bring your medal out. Like, maybe you'll get a free drink somewhere. It's like, do I have to wear it? Like, I actually shoved it in my pocket, let like the ribbon part of it like hang out a little bit just in case. But I don't want to wear my medal.
The move in New York is you wear it if you have to take the subway that same day, because that's the only time that someone will give up a seat for you, I think.
Oh, got it. Yeah. I don't think I even took the subway. So there
right.
you go. I didn't even get to see that. It probably would have been a cool sight to see. I'm sure like the whole city was probably all meddled out.
Oh yeah, and then it's just people struggling to get down the stairs and everyone wearing the blue capes. Like it's one of the best days of the year in the
Yeah.
city. I'd be remiss not to ask you for recovery tips in general. I guess like the everyday common runner who might be listening to this or stumbles upon this one. Just like what is it that you would recommend after a marathon, especially being able to turn it around, three times or two times after,
Yeah.
one marathon. Oh, after one marathon goes poorly, you are able to turn it around twice.
Yes. I mean, just getting like usually after racing, you don't even have an appetite and you don't even want to drink anything like water wise. But like try to, like that's clutch, like you need to like hydrate, get the electrolytes back in, whatever you take. And like just be sipping on something throughout the day and then eating a good amount. Like at that point you're like, you just ran the marathon. Like you can go ahead and eat whatever you want. It could be junk food, it could be whatever, but like get substantial nutrition in. And I mean, like I'm not even sure what I was doing between New York and Philly. Like nothing like that I could really be like, you know what, guys, these are the tips. These are the best tips in the world. Like I don't even think I was being like the best athlete at that point in time, but I was eating like whatever I wanted, and that was fine. And then like I think I still was like trying to roll out a little bit, like just make sure the body was like, at least I pretended like I cared about it, sometimes you roll out, you're like kind of just like rolling out like playing on your phone, but like and then you're like, oh, okay, my body was tricked into thinking I care about it. But a little bit of that. And I think the fact that I had to travel a bit was probably good, just walking through airports and this and that. But I was hydrating. Like I just carried like two water bottles with me, filled it up repeatedly at like the airport and stuff like that. So that, and then yeah, I really didn't get any work done between New York and Philly just because I really didn't officially decide to do Philly like until like 3 days before the race. But yeah, so no physio or anything. So like if people listening like don't have access or like don't have the finances to like get all the work done, like you don't need it as long as you're like doing stuff for yourself, like rolling out, do the trigger point stuff, like make sure you're eating right. Like if you take any like multivitamins, like make sure you're staying on top of that, like get that stuff in. And then yeah, after Philly, I did get like I had an appointment with my PT for just some dry needling in my hip, and I had like a chiropractor adjustment, so I did that. But I mean, after Philly, it was nice because it was Thanksgiving, so I didn't have to worry about getting a good meal in. Like I definitely got my fair share of food in. So yeah.
Before I get to the final questions that I ask every guest, I did just see your half marathon PR of 69:51 from 2015, right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Are you thinking of giving that another stab over the next couple,
Oh,
over the next year?
I would love to run a fast half again because I haven't really come close to that after that, but I just became like just a straight up marathoner after it. So like every other half I've ever done has been like a pre-race tune-up before a marathon. So it's like you're happy if you run like 72. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah, I thought about it. Like, I actually thought like I would maybe do New York and then like, oh, let's turn around quickly and do Houston half, and then just kind of use the marathon strength and just do speed work and hopefully it will come together. But like, I don't think that's gonna be the case. So I don't know. I would love to get a fast half in though. Yeah, that would be nice.
Well, and then in addition to that, I mean, just from 2015, it's pre-Super Shoes era. So like you in that, at least like in the last couple of years, have reaped the benefits of that.
Oh yeah, like that is absolutely right. I was in just nothing of a shoe. So like, yeah, you could give me like 2 minutes right there. Sure, I'll take
Right.
it. But yeah, like that would be cool just to see what I could do. But I'm like, do I have that speed anymore? Like, can I do that? I mean, it's there, but I really have to train it.
All right, final questions that I ask every guest. First one is funniest drug testing story that you've got.
Let's see, funniest. Well, one time I was on a run and it wasn't during my time, scheduled time. I happened to be running with my phone and yeah, they're like, hey, we're at your house. And I'm like, oh, and I was at the river here in Atlanta. I'm on a run right now, but I could just turn around and like come there immediately. Like, I was so worried at it, like, because I didn't know certain things, how everything operated. I'm like, oh my God, like, please, like, don't get me like in trouble. Like, I'll finish my run immediately. I just have to get back to my car and like give me 20 minutes. And they're like, that's fine. We'll go get a coffee. Like, not a big deal. Like, and I didn't know. And at the end of the day, like, you have that whole like hour, yeah, that they're there. So like you don't need to go into like have a heart attack. Like, like you have that whole hour, and like they want to find you. Like, that's the thing too. They're not working against you. They're like, huh, Christian's not here. We're gonna just mark it as big X. Like, so yeah, they're like, no big deal. So that was like the first panic attack of like drug testing that I had. Yeah.
That's a good one. Next one is if you could go on a run anywhere in the world with anyone from history, assuming they could hold a nice conversational pace with you, they don't have to be a runner, they don't have to be a real person, where would the run take place and who'd it be with?
Where would it be first? I don't know. That's a good one. Well, I actually really enjoy running in the Rockies up in
Okay.
Westchester. That would be a good run. But who would I go with? I don't know, like Muhammad Ali. That would be kind of cool.
It's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like Lucille Ball, like
All
I'll take
right.
her. It should be like pretty hilarious to like ask her a lot of questions and see her take on life, especially like back in the day. So yeah.
Like that. That's a cool answer. Final one has nothing to do with running. It just assesses risk. If you got 25 shots from half court on a full-size basketball court and you make one of the 25 shots, you win $25 million. If you don't make any, you go to jail for 25 years. Would you take the shots?
Probably not. Like,
All right.
I'm probably not going to make it. So it would be nice if I did, but I don't know. I mean, part of it, like the competitor in me is like, yeah, I would like after like 10 or 15, like I would kind of figure out what I need to do. But there's just a risk of being locked up. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. All right. Megan, I appreciate you taking the time for this. And so wait, do you have a no races on the calendar yet, right?
No races on the
Okay.
calendar. Remember, I just raced like a few days ago, and
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
that's never too long.
Well, that's right. Like at this point, last 2 times, I kind of had a race on my schedule. But yeah, nothing's on the radar. Like 2022, I think is a done deal. So we're looking into 23.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate you taking the time for this, and we're looking forward to seeing what you do in 2023.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
That does it for another episode of the City of Smack podcast. Thanks for listening and supporting. If you enjoyed this episode, share with a friend, leave a review and rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you want to contribute and support the show, you can also back us on Patreon by visiting patreon.com/cityofsmag or send over any tip or one-time donation over to City of Smack on Venmo. You guys are all the best. Thanks for listening. Legs are feeling good. I'm Chris Chavez. See you next time.